Today on Vox Talks, the legacy of America's secret war in Laos. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Center for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Between 1964 and 1973, the US waged a covert war in Laos. More than 270 million cluster bombs were dropped on this country, killing 1 in 10 of the population and wounding twice as many. It's a long way away and a long time ago, you might think, but the lasting impact of the bombing campaign is still being felt. And that's also the conclusion of a new CEPR discussion paper provocatively titled Collateral Damage. Felipe Valencia Casedo of the University of British Columbia and the CEPR is one of the authors, and he joins me today. Welcome to Vox Talks.
Hi, Tim. Thank you very much for the invitation.
A lot of people would struggle to pick out Laos on a map, and even most Americans don't know what happened in this war. So first of all, Felipe, where is the country and what is life like there today?
Yeah, sure, you're right. So Laos is in Southeast Asia. It was known as the Indochina Peninsula. It borders Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand, and a little bit of Myanmar or Birmania, and a little bit of China. And the life today is peaceful. It's not a rich country. It's actually one of the poorest countries in the world. But things are, quote unquote, back to normal in a way. I mean, definitely not a country at war. It's quite a lovely country to visit as a tourist. I've been there myself. So things are going well. It's just kind of a very poor country nowadays.
So the obvious question is, what happened that in the 1960s, the US decided to bomb the country in secret?
This must be understood under like a broader Cold War counterinsurgency operations in the region. As you know, obviously, like there's the Vietnam War, and that had important spillovers in Southeast Asia, in particular in Laos and Cambodia. So what the US did there was to launch this campaign, and it was actually known as the Secret War because basically very few people, at least in the US, knew about this. And it was a massive bombing campaign by some records. In a per capita basis, it was the largest bombing campaign in human history. And this was from 1963-64 to 1975.
And I learned from your paper that the problem here, it's not just the bomb damage that happened at the time, it's that so many of these bombs failed to explode and they're still sitting there.
Exactly, yeah. So when we think about conflict is, okay, two sets of factions are fighting and the conflict is over and that's it. But what we're finding out in this case is that that's not it. Because, for instance, if you drop bombs, like in this case, there's some estimates saying that up to a third of those bombs didn't explode. So you can declare a ceasefire, but these bombs are still there. So probably, I mean, for a European audience, you hear here and there that sometimes, oh, they found this bomb from World War One or World War Two. So Laos has that problem, but I mean, it's a massive problem. I would say it's the number one development problem for these countries. So as you were pointing out before, it's not only the bombs, but it's unexploded bombs. What in the lingo it's called UXOs, for unexploded ordnance.
In your work, you look at the relationship between conflict and poverty. Which one is causing the other? Is it conflict causing poverty or poverty causing conflict?
This is the question in economics, usually the arrow of causality. Obviously, let me just say, we probably think that it's both, right? Like from conflict to poverty and poverty to conflict, and there are papers going both ways. In this paper, we are centering in the relationship going from conflict to poverty. Bombs were falling from the sky. And the question is, are there going to be some economic after effects of this? And as I was alluding to before, basically through the channel of these UXOs, unexploded ordnance.
Sounds pretty complicated to establish a causal relationship in this case. How do you go about that?
Yes, again, I mean, that's the key, the crux of the matter. Several ways. I mean, there's kind of the first pass, which is let's just control for other geographic or weather characteristics that we might think are associated with conflict, things like ruggedness, altitude, but also some things that are a bit more particular to the conflict here, like distance to Vietnam and other things that, again, locationally might be correlated with conflict. So that's kind of a first pass. The other thing that we are able to do in this paper is to use a very highly disaggregated data. So that allows you to take a fixed effect. It's basically everything that is constant for a unit of, in this case, territory. So in this case, we can actually go very detailed and look at things that happen within not only the province level, but even the district level. And Laos has 141 districts and 18 provinces. And then the third thing that we do, which is the usual thing that we do in economics or in econometrics, is to use an instrumental variable strategy, which I can expand further upon if you want.
It's always a challenge to explain instrumental variables.
Yeah, sure. So what you're trying just very simply is to look at one variable, we call them instruments in economics or econometrics, that it's kind of shocking the piece of things that you think that it's correlated with other stuff, what we call an endogenous variable. So in this case, just to be precise, the relationship is between bombs and lights or poverty. It's a proxy for the poverty or wealth of people in Laos. Mm-hmm. So we want to look at something that is affecting the bomb variable, but that is not directly affecting income or a proxy of nightlights. So we have two. In this case, those are the distance to the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which was the key supply route in Vietnam, which is obviously very important for conflict, but we argue is not super relevant for Laotian development today. And two, where there were US military bases outside Laos and prior to the beginning of conflict. So we think that this is fairly exogenous. And in a nutshell, what we're doing is to exploit the asymmetries that emerge from conflict, right? So like the things that Americans didn't know about Laos and the things that Laotians at the time didn't know about Americans. And this is inherent in conflict, this asymmetric information.
Now, to do all of this, you have to get the data. Now, first of all, you're doing this amount of bombing and it's a long time ago. Where do you get the data on the bombs?
Okay, so we have to collect from different sources. So there's actually fantastic data on more than 1.6 million bombing missions. That's from 1965 to 1975. And that's from the US Department of Defense. Many of these things have been declassified recently. So that's for the bombing part. And then, of course, it's not only about bombs, but it's going to be the relationship to other variables, in this case, nightlights. And we're getting that also from the US Air Force Defense Meteorological Satellite Program. This is something that sounds complicated, but a lot of economists are using. We're just taking the measurements from 1993, 2003, and 2013. And again, what these satellites do is that they go around the world and then they take pictures to see if there is more or less light. And the more light there is, that's kind of a good proxy for income, and others papers have shown that.
So you're literally looking at the country from space, and where it's better lit, you assume that has better economic development.
That's right. Yeah. The thing that we can do in this paper is that we don't need to fully assume that. We can also validate it using the Laotian data. So this would be the population and the agricultural censuses. We have that for 2005 and 2011. And that's data that is actually very detailed. So we have pixel level data. That's going to be the nightlight. And we're dividing the country into these artificial grids. But we can also run an analysis at the village level, which is even a higher degree of disaggregation. And what that allows you is to validate exactly what you just said, which is it true that more lit areas are richer? And that's exactly what we find. So it's nice that we can use two proxies. The very last thing that we do in the paper as well is to go at the very fine individual level data. So through IPUMS, we have access to what's called the 10% sample of the 2005 census. And that's information for more than 500,000 individuals. So there we can go very, very micro. And we have access to reports of UXO accidents. This is coming from the NRA, the National Regulatory Authority for Mine Action. And it's a very detailed panel, almost the daily level, covering accidents from 1950 to 2011. So we pull all of these together to run our analysis, aside from the geographic and weather controls that I talked about before.
Extraordinary level of detail that you're able to access here. So what does it tell us? What is the impact of this bombing campaign today?
Pulling all of this together, indeed, areas that were more bombed are poorer today. And as economists, obviously, we want to quantify these things. So the main finding is that a one standard deviation increase in the number of bombs dropped leads to a decrease of 33% in nightlights. And to translate that into things that we're more familiar with, that's essentially a fall of 9.3% in GDP per capita, which is obviously a sizable decrease.
That is huge. huge, isn't it? Even though it sounds like the US military just carpeted the entire country in bombs, I imagine it was more concentrated in some areas than others. Are you very sure that your results are not biased by this non-randomness in the bombing campaign?
That's a great question. It relates back to this other point of like, how do we get to causality? So as I was saying, first is going to be geographic and locational controls. Second, it's going to be fixed effects. So like net out things at the province and even at the district level. And third, the IVs. So that's going to allow us to like say things or reach estimates that are a bit more causal and less biased. So one other exercise that we run here is what in economics is called a quantile regression. So that allows you to like see where the effect is. So before running the IV, you might think in the OLS, the ordinary least square estimate, whether it's biased in one direction or the other. So the two scenarios could be you're just bombing areas that are, let's say, the jungle. And obviously, I mean, if you're just bombing the jungle, no one lives there and it's going to be poor and you find that it's poor today. So that's not going to be a great finding. Or the opposite, right? Because bombing is still costly. So you bomb some areas that are of strategic importance. So even in the OLS and in these quantile regressions, we find that the effect is concentrated on areas that are a bit richer. But again, to address the bias, we need to employ these other econometric techniques that I talked about before.
This effect that you found is large, 5 decades after the event. So how do we explain it? What is happening here so that even this long after the campaign, we find these local effects on GDP?
I think that the main channel of transmission in this case is really these UXOs, the unexploded ordnance. And what's interesting when once you analyze the data is that it's not only the obvious thing. So it's not only, oh, of course, there's going to be, I mean, and we document that in the paper, many accidents. So It's calculated that around 50,000 people in Laos have been killed or injured.
Wow.
Sadly, most of them civilians, and even more sad, many of them are children. 1/3 of these bombs haven't exploded. So what else could be happening? And what we do in the paper is to show that it's not only the fact that maybe you're going to be injured from some of these bombs, but that it's also affecting crucially other economic investments. So also literacy, we measured that, all sorts of proxies for education, such as years of schooling, and just in general, people's ability to invest in themselves. So that's what's being hampered. And again, it's because of these unexploded bombs that, I mean, why would you go to the field and plant rice if maybe there's a bomb there? But also, why would you invest in education? As we know, we invest in education because it's a long-term gain reward, right? So like you need to study today and then eventually you're going to profit from these. But what if your horizon of life has been altered? So it has these other indirect effects, which are equally important as the direct effects of just like a bomb that exploded. It has a very pervasive impact on other economic areas of life.
It's a very sobering story. Is there anything that we can take from this that can help us to understand how we can help regions, countries like Laos, that are caught up in a conflict of this scale? Because there are still conflicts of this scale and there are still people suffering from them.
Obviously, these are sad results. I think it's important to know sad results as well. But I would say 2 things. So one glimmer of hope that we find in the paper, we do an interaction with migration. And what we find is that people that are able to migrate do get higher education and are actually working in better paid jobs relative to the stayers. So that's a within Laos thing is, okay, maybe migration could be one avenue out of this. So that's one. And 2, obviously, a call for demining. So in the case of Laos, less than 1% of the UXOs have been cleared. So by this rate, it would take literally more than a century to declare a Laos mine free. But we've seen other countries, for instance, there's interesting work for Mozambique showing the huge positive economic impacts of demining. Of course, you need to then say, okay, what's the best cost-effective way to do this? Because to be blunt and honest, I don't think that Laos is going to be declared a mine free anytime soon. No. But at least if we can clear some areas that are of importance, strategic transportation importance today, that could really go a long way. So I think that that could be maybe the glimmer of hope, or at least the call for action for policymakers, I guess, in European countries and especially in the US, but also in Laos, to think about these issues. And hopefully for policymakers also to learn a bit, okay, what are the channels through which this UXO effect is working through?
And on the other side of the conflict, is there any lesson for the countries that wage war in this way? Because you can't imagine that the goal of the war would be to impoverish a country half a century later.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know if this is a bit naive, but I guess policymakers in attacking countries might want to think twice about the long-term socioeconomic legacy of their military actions, right? Because these short-term political, strategic, military goals that the CIA or whoever is in charge, in this case, it was mostly the CIA, have, but then maybe also think about the longer-term costs, right? So especially, I mean, as I was just alluding to before, if there's going to be demining efforts later on, I mean, these are also going to be very costly. So maybe just think twice about not only the short-term military, political, etc. gains, but also the long-term consequences. Because again, this is a country that is suffering from this legacy essentially 50 years after the conflict ended. And I'm sure that no policymaker in the US at the time would have wanted this for Laos at all.
No, it's an amazing story that it is so little known with such a huge effect. So I hope that this paper brings it to more people's attention. I hope we could learn something from it. Felipe, thank you.
Thank you very much. And indeed, I think just the fact that we are talking about this and people are doing interesting research about this and just bringing attention to this literally was called secret war for a reason. So let it not be secret anymore and let's discuss these issues. And again, there are many people affected, so why not? So thank you, Tim, for having me. And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
So the paper is called Collateral Damage, The Legacy of the Secret War in Laos. And the authors are Felipe Valencia Quecedo and Juan Felipe Riaño. It is discussion paper 15349 at the CEPR, if you'd like to look it up that way. This has been a Vox Talk from the Center for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week, so subscribe to Vox Talks, you never miss an episode. And remember, there are 10 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.